Oh, great. Hey, this is Doc Mike. Hang on. Jesus. Be ready to go when you're ready to go, for crying out loud. Let me make a couple adjustments here. Yeah, I'm going to try, man. I am going to try. Let's see. I want to get rid of this, though. Hang on. No. I want to get rid of, yes, that one. And that one. Okay, now let's do this. This is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Show live here on Real Liberty Media. If you want to join the conversation, come into the chat room, say hello. You know, always people there with some great ideas. I say it every week, man. Join us live. Get in the chat room. You're going to learn some stuff. Probably not stuff you hear every day. Although things may be changing. I'm going to be talking about Twitter a little bit today. But I really want to start with, well, a couple things. Happy midweek. Yeah, I am facing the mic. Oh, why do I sound muffled? That's not good. Hang on. See what the hell is going on here. No, I got everything hooked up. Tell me if this sounds different. Hang on. Does that sound any different, Rob? There's only one thing I think it could be. Let's see here. Gotta troubleshoot this stuff before you get on the air, for crying out loud. Let's see what I got here. Oh. Yeah, no, that's not gonna work. Let's try that. Is that any better? Oh, yeah, but that's because I just have my music and my mic set differently, I think. Anyway, well, I'm just going to go on. Anyway, I just wanted to talk about a couple things today. Yeah, I see the difference in the audio level of the music. Hey, I know. Here you go. I'm going to do something. Yeah. Okay, let's try this. Is that any better? Get some feedback here. Maybe I'll get it so loud it'll start cutting out or so. Nah, I don't know. Let's try that and see what happens. Okay, thanks. I got to remember to do that. Yeah, it's just a difference in that, decibel setting, something. But anyway, hey, I had a fantastic weekend last weekend. I do want to talk about that a bit, because really, it was almost like almost a perfect redneck weekend. And that probably to me means something different than it may mean to you, but I'm going to share it with you in just a few minutes. This weekend I spent both days. It was so beautiful. I talked about it on the show Saturday night, as a matter of fact, that it was so beautiful. I spent both days outside. I'm going to get rid of this again. Sorry. Screwing around with everything. There we go. That is much better. Yeah, the perfect redneck weekend. And it didn't involve blowing stuff up. So that's why it was almost perfect. Because, you know, there were none of these hold my beer moments where, you know, then something tremendous happens that would, you know, go viral on YouTube or whatever favorite streaming service you may use. But I had to build a chicken tractor to get the meat birds outside, and I think I talked about it Saturday night, man. Saturday was just this perfect, beautiful, sunny day. The weather was probably in the 60s, like upper 60s, maybe 70, but I'm not really sure we broke 70 here in Sheridan. Portland may have, because it's the big concrete jungle. But yeah, it was a fantastic day Saturday, and then I did the show Saturday night, and then again, like a repeat on Sunday. It was awesome. Like the almost exact same weather, temperature, blue sky, sunshine. It was fantastic. And so I wanted to share that with you, because by the time the weekend ended, I was like, man, this was such a good weekend. I'm just going to share this. Oh, brisket and a smoker. That sounds fantastic. I'm going to share my weekend with you. Just because this is what Rochelle and I see as like just achieving some peace and quiet amongst a crazy time in our lives, a crazy time for the world. And to get some time where, you know, everything outside of here doesn't matter. Like, it's just perfect peace and quiet on the homestead, doing what we like to do, what we want to do, and not worrying about a thing. There's always time for worrying some other time. So I wrote this little bit. I'll probably ad-lib some as I go, but I wanted to share with you all what I felt was nearly a perfect redneck weekend. It happened last weekend. It is springtime, and we had a really perfect weekend weather-wise. Sunny blue skies both days from morning to evening. Spring has sprung here. The greenery is coming on. There are buds and flowers everywhere in this beautiful landscaping. Rochelle has done such a good job of putting together and keeping up with. Before I go on, I just want to say we love our kids and grandkids. They all went to the coast last weekend, leaving Rochelle and I and the pets and the chores and the birds, etc., to ourselves. It's always nice to get a little alone time, and I think we all love it when we get that. Yeah, we miss them when they are gone, but we made the best of the time together. We had done our shopping before the weekend, so we really didn't have any reason to go anywhere. And we actually prefer just hanging out at our property, our home. We have made a beautiful, peaceful slice of heaven, Rochelle more so than I. We had a project to do. We each had a project to do, or I did anyway. We also had all the regular chores to do, you know, water the plants, feed, water, and clean the chicken coop and the two chicken homes we are maintaining while chicks grow. We had moving to do and other incidental things, mowing to do and other incidental things like fueling the mower, tractor, utility rigs. We started off our morning with coffee in our hot tub after the dogs were fed and let out. We had to decide what we wanted to do for breakfast instead of like, you know, what are we going to make for the whole tribe for breakfast? It was just like her and I, like, hey, well, what do you want for breakfast? And we both decided on a Dutch baby, which is like it's hard to explain. It's kind of like a pancake in a skillet made in the oven. And it's really fun when you make a Dutch baby because it starts out as a liquid. And then it kind of just blows up. It just gets real airy and full of, you know, well, air. It gets full of air for while it's cooking. And it just bubbles up and looks fantastic. And then when you take it out of the oven, the air escapes and it kind of flattens into more of a quiche looking thing. Or there you go, Dutch baby recipe right in the chat room. That's why I say come join the conversation. You'll get it right there, man. And so we made a Dutch baby and some sausage and a skillet, and we just sat and ate and had our coffee and just enjoyed the morning. We laughed as we enjoyed the breakfast with a little sausage too, because we were alone, you know, and the grandkids, they love Dutch babies. They love to watch it cooking. They love to eat it. And we were just laughing because we were sitting having a, you know, just enjoying it by ourselves. Then we got our working clothes on and started on our chores, you know, and that, what I do on the weekend, when I'm just going to be hanging around here, I throw on the bib overalls. They're comfy. They're kind of loose, you know, and I had a t-shirt on. I wasn't worried about being cold. It was just like so perfect. And I started just after breakfast, the coolest part of the day. And it was still tolerable just to be in a t-shirt. So we got our working clothes on and started on the chores. After morning chores, we started on our individual projects, which for me was that chicken tractor. We call it a chicken tractor. It's actually just a big frame, five-sided box. The floor is open. I put two wheels on it so I could drag it around the yard. And basically what you do, you put your meat birds in there, and then you can move them a little bit, you know, move them from one area of the pasture to another, or your yard or whatever, and they'll fertilize, of course. They'll fertilize as you move the chicken tractor around, and then they don't get you know, dirty. I mean, you got to move them to new grass, and meat birds don't really like to move very much. So if you don't move them, they're not moving. They move from the water to the feeder. That's it. Pretty lazy birds, really. So I had that project to do, and I set it up outside here, kind of in the driveway, but kind of in the yard. I started in the driveway because I had to cut some lumber, you know, with a skill saw, cut some lumber and, you know, just get all my parts together. And kind of once I got it all together, I was like, oh yeah, that, the Bulls game, Milwaukee Bucks are playing the Chicago Bulls, so we ought to put the game on the outside TV. Not that we were going to sit and watch it, but we like the Milwaukee Bucks. My wife is from Wisconsin. Hang on, drink. So, you know, we follow teams from Wisconsin, the Packers, the Bucks, the Brewers. Sorry, hang on. Didn't quite get that. Medicine ball swallowed. Yeah, go Bucks, exactly. So we put the game on the outside TV. We turned the volume up enough so that we could hear it. And then I was just out there kind of working on my project and listening to the game. And if something really exciting happened, I could step over and take a look at the screen for a minute and then go right back to work. And, so sometimes we would just seek each other out occasionally to see if we were okay or needed some help. We'd sit for a few minutes enjoying the peace and looking at the valley or watching the birds, all the wild birds passing through or choosing to stay for a while. After these brief rests, we would get back to it. We both knew that even though the daylight was longer, you know, days were getting longer, the daylight hours were getting longer, it may not be enough to get everything done before dark. So we both just kept working. We both enjoy certain sports, of course, as I said, and we love to watch our teams in the playoffs. So when the time came for the Bucks to play the Bulls in the NBA playoffs, we turned on the TV and the Bucks game and put the volume up enough. I already said this part. I kind of, you know, ad-libbed, like I said. And then after the Bucks got done beating the Bulls, I like to call them the junior varsity NASCAR team, the Xfinity Series race was on. So I put the race on. I mean, I think it was on the one different channel. I put it on. I turned the volume up so I could hear it while I'm nailing and stapling and cutting hardware cloth and putting this chicken tractor together. And, lunchtime rolled around and we paused individually to rummage for our favorite treat. We took a short, quick lunch and then back at it. As evening came, we both knew we weren't going to finish, so we decided to grill some meat and make a nice dinner, catch the local news, and plan for tomorrow. We ate, we enjoyed the sunset and the evening hot tub together, then our quiet time to slow down for bedtime. When we went to bed, the skies were clear and cold. It felt good to get into the covers and drift off to a perfect sleep. I'm telling you, that's so close to my imagination of heaven, of just sitting and relaxing and doing stuff together and getting things done that need to be done. And to do it without, you know, a bunch of stress and not to hear all the horrible things going on in the world. And there was some pretty horrible things that went on in the world this weekend, as I found out later. And it was nice not to be a part of it. You know, and I fear in one way that so many people are unprepared for what's coming at them. I'm trying to make some kind of a comparison. I'm going to skip to an idea I have. I keep seeing commercials about more vaccinations, like kids now are going to be able to get vaccinations, or younger kids are going to be able to get vaccinations, or younger kids are going to be able to get this treatment, remdesivir. And I keep thinking to myself, why in the hell are they still playing these commercials? Why is it that, like, why would they go on with this lie? And there's only one real reason why they would go on with this lie. And it's because people aren't aware that it's a lie, that it's a hoax. Every single day I hear or see these commercials, because I do like to stay in touch with certain things. I listen to a couple guys in the morning that do a great job of covering world events, and they're kind of funny, so it's entertaining for me. As a matter of fact, last week they were on, and one of the guys had lost his voice over the weekend. So Monday morning he comes in, comes to work, and he's using a text-to-speech app because he couldn't talk. And I'm telling you, it was one of the funniest weeks. I mean, these guys are funny anyway, but for that guy to sit and kind of type out his thoughts and then play him like as if he's interrupting the conversation, which he did a lot, I was laughing my butt off, but I was also kind of being kept informed on things that I like to follow and kind of keep my finger on the pulse of. So when the weekend was over and I heard about a lot of these horrible things, I was just like so grateful to have this place and have that time that we just kind of, you know, we worked constantly, but it didn't feel like we worked constantly. It felt like we were just kind of kicking it on the homestead, relaxing, having a good time. And we both really enjoyed the time we spent together and spent apart doing our independent projects. And we finally got everything done sometime Sunday, and then the kids came back and the grandkids came back, and it was like, you know, life back to normal. It was awesome. And it was really great when they came back. Like I said, we miss them when they're gone, and, you know, we really appreciate it when they're here. So, yeah, it was really a great weekend. It was a lot of fun. So, yeah, we didn't blow anything up, but, man, I'm telling you, it was just, like, so relaxing. I really hated for the weekend to end, honestly. But, of course, you know, I got to go back to work. I'm telling you, this work thing, it's crazy. I'm starting to get patients now that are coming from other offices. And one of the first things they say is, well, this office couldn't get me in for a couple months. And I hear my assistants telling them, yeah, we're booking out till September or October. I mean, we don't have any appointments available. So this is April and till October. We're 6 months out. And I'm not the only clinic that's like that. It's like everybody who's trying to get care right now is having to wait, and we don't even have enough resources to serve everybody. There's a multitude of offices who don't even have a dental hygienist, so people aren't getting their teeth cleaned. They're not getting their hygiene appointments if they have special needs, as far as, you know, more than just a polishing of their teeth. Yeah, there's nobody to do that. And I actually considered doing it myself, and I was thinking, well, that's really stupid. I'm really expensive, number one. And number two, if I spend my time cleaning somebody's teeth, that means I am not providing care that people need that can only be provided by a dentist. So, you know, it kind of almost defeats the purpose. But prevention is so important. I'm telling you, like, prevention in dentistry, it literally could save your teeth. It could. But, and I don't just mean a dentist providing or a dental hygienist providing prevention. I mean, daily prevention can save your teeth, but, you know, it doesn't always work like that. But now we don't even have that. You don't even have that. I don't even know, honestly, I don't know where I would go to get my teeth cleaned. Could I call in a favor? Yeah, I probably could. I won't, but I probably could. Number one, because I don't really need it. I know that's going to sound like, I don't know, it's going to sound horrible. I don't. I brush my teeth multiple times a day. I don't even know how many times. I'm not obsessive about it, but trust me, I brush my teeth more than 3 times a day, and I floss every day, and I know if there's going to be a, if I'm having a problem or not. I know it sounds really snooty, but, you know, I don't need to go to the dentist. I do. I don't have time, and, you know, right now, the demand is so high for dental care. If I needed to go to the dentist, I would, but I'm not going because I'm not one of those people who needs it. So anyway, back to work I go on Monday, and, you know, this week it's just been crazy. It's just been crazy. The amount of dentistry that we're doing on a daily basis is probably 3 times, maybe 4 times as much as, I'm sorry, as we have done in the past few years. And the demand is so high. And I really feel sorry for people who are coming from somewhere else and who are expecting to be able to be seen, you know, and get something fixed. Like I have a certain procedure in my office where people, if they have an emergency, and I don't mean what they consider an emergency, but what I consider an emergency, we squeeze them in to the schedule within a couple days or maybe 2 weeks at the most to get that certain procedure done. Because if it waits 6 months, well, it's going to be beyond being saved. You know, it's going to be beyond us being able to provide care that preserves tooth structure. So, I just feel sorry for people who are, you know, stuck in that position. And man, you know, you see a lot of people didn't have, I mean, they couldn't see a dentist for months in the beginning of this whole COVID pandemic hoax. And then, you know, getting offices open and getting back to some semblance of normalcy, it took a while. It took quite a while. Like, I would say it wasn't until the last, 4 to 6 months that we actually started seeing the same number of patients we were seeing before the pandemic started. So imagine, that was like 18 months of reduced ability to provide care because the government, of course, intervened. The government set certain restrictions on how many people could be in the clinic, how many people could be like how many feet between people. And not only that, listen to this. So if I did a procedure on a patient that I used a high-speed drill, we had to wait 20 minutes after that drill was done running before we could sterilize the room to get ready for the next patient. Now, I don't know if you've been to your dentist lately or not, but, you know, they're pretty much trying to be efficient and get you in and out of there as fast as possible so they can see another patient. That's just the way healthcare is going these days. And you have to stop for 20 minutes. So let's say you schedule 3 patients an hour. Like I have 2 patients that get treatment in an hour and 1 patient that gets an exam. So of those 2 patients that are getting treatment, 40 minutes is going to be lost to waiting for the room to be sterilized. So, and you couldn't even do 2 patients at a time. You couldn't actually treat 2 patients at a time because you couldn't have the drill running in one room. If there was a patient in the next room, you couldn't have a patient in the next room because the aerosol was so deadly. Oh my God, the stuff we did during this pandemic. I mean, everybody, not just dentistry, everybody. And I have some stuff to talk about today that you're going to see. It's not only is it not over, but the next thing coming at us has already come. And you're not going to be surprised by the names of the people who are involved in the whole thing. And you're not going to be surprised at all. As a matter of fact, it's pretty much a replay of what we did in the past, but just from a different avenue. Let me get a drink and we'll go on. All right. So, I wanted to, before I get into the next thing coming at us, last week I talked about the 18 food processing plants that were destroyed unusually, not unusually. It was not coincidental that those 18 food processing plants or food storage plants got wrecked in the last 2 months. It's just impossible. I don't know what the odds are of 18 food processing or storage plants being destroyed in 2 months, but I can tell you I've never heard that before in my life. Yeah, there's been some, but not 18 in 2 months. There's something direct, specifically going on with that, but I talked about that on the last show. I started thinking, you know, with all the things I've talked about in the past, with water shortages. I even briefly caught a news story tonight about California and how dry their frickin' soil is, and now they're limiting water days to 1 day per week. I mean, what good are you going to do for your lawn, let's say, if you only have enough water to water 1 day a week? You're basically going to keep that lawn in a constant state of confusion because it's going to get the slightest little sip of water 1 day, and then it's just going to fry for 6 days. And, you know, this is not a good idea that you actually live in a place where there isn't ready access to water. For crying out loud, it's like one of the most important things that we need. Like, you can only survive a couple few days without water, but you can survive. Well, look at yourself and tell me how long you could survive living off the fat of the land, if you know what I mean. I could go at least, I don't know, 2 months easily. So then take into account, that's just water for a lawn, for crying out loud. And they're trying to, I assume, preserve water for any crops that they might be trying to grow. But there's not enough water there to grow the crops. And this is my fear, is that people aren't going to be prepared. Kind of getting back to what I was saying about why they keep advertising for these vaccines and these treatments for COVID-19 is because people aren't aware of what's coming at them. And the reason, one of the reasons could be that these big social media companies who have restricted free speech for years now, they're responsible for the ignorance of the population, at least partially. I mean, partially you can go back to public schools and public education, because all we've done for the past 20 to 40 years is make really stupid people, really gullible people, people who don't care to question authority, people who just want to get on whatever gravy train they're on and ride it for however long they can ride it. And I hate to say it, but a lot of those people are going to suffer, and they're going to suffer ultimately. They are not going to survive. There are people that are just not going to survive. You know, when you have government officials, although some of it may be a psyop, but they start talking about famine for the next 2 years, a worldwide famine in the next 2 years, and who's listening? I mean, some people have been talking about being prepared for a lot longer than they've been talking about famine. I was thinking about the last time I had meat goats a couple days ago, because the neighbors and I have been talking about, you know, what we're going to do to provide food for ourselves, our neighbors and ourselves. And they have milk goats, and I've drank milk, goat milk before. It's delicious. And if you go back in the archives, you can find a show on goat milk and how much better it is for you than cow milk. There's a lot of reasons why, if babies can't drink mother's milk, and they're lactose intolerant, they can actually drink goat milk and it doesn't bother them at all. There's good reasons, like real science reasons, behind why goat milk is better for you and more tolerable for babies than cow milk. But anyway, so the neighbors have some dairy goats, and they're going to breed them so that we can have, you know, some, so we can have milk. Whether you drink milk or not, it's pretty handy in some, you know, in some areas of cooking meals. It's great for making cheese. It's great for making butter. Although goat milk, you have to really, the fat is very different in goat milk. So it's harder to obtain the fatty part of the milk from goat milk than it is from dairy milk. For butter making, I'm saying. Anyway, so they have dairy goats. They're actually going to get a meat buck, a meat goat buck. In other words, a goat that produces offspring that put more meat on their bones so that you can slaughter that animal and eat it. And we've done that back in 2008 when we were preparing for the last little crisis. We raised meat goats for the express purpose of eating them. They're not pets. They're cute. I give it to you. They're cute. Just like bunnies are cute. Chickens, not so cute, but they're entertaining. But you got to look at them as food, and you got to be ready. If you're going to raise animals for food, if you don't slaughter them, you're going to have a ton of freaking pets running around. And it's not financially feasible for anybody, I don't think. Although I see a ton of people do it. Anyway, so we're talking to the neighbors. Okay, we've expanded our garden. We're going to put, you know, these crops in, or these vegetables in, and this is what we're growing, and this is what we're doing with the chickens. We got some cross, kind of dual-purpose chickens. They're layers, and they put on some pretty good meat. So we're going to hatch our own chickens and raise them for meat. We got meat goats that, you know, think about it. It's not going to produce a lot of meat. If you've seen a goat, you know how many people that's going to feed for how long. You'd have to produce a ton of those a year to have, to feed a family. But the idea is you just are supplementing your other meat, you know, meat production. Like, instead of eating chicken, you know, 52 weeks out of the year, you're going to squeeze some goat in there once in a while, or some rabbit. But anyway, yeah, so we talked to them about what's going on. We're going to get a couple meat goat does so that we can breed it with their meat goat buck, and then we will kill the offspring and eat them. So that'll be 2 to 4 kids a year. So that's not that many. You know, you're just not going to produce a ton of meat. But having that milk is going to be the thing, man. Keeping that milk flowing in those dairy goats is going to be, that's going to be really a great addition. Because so my milk goat, when I had her, she would produce probably a gallon and a half of milk a day on her peak. So they taper off, you know, eventually they taper off. And they got to feed their kid. I mean, that's how you're getting the milk, is you bred them. So you have to let the kids get some milk and grow until they are weaned. And then you just keep milking those goats so that you keep getting milk. But let's say if you get a gallon of milk a day, let's just say a gallon. Hell, if you really wanted to, let's say a half a gallon. Let's say you're down to half a gallon of milk a day. You can make cheese out of that milk, which means you can put that in storage and save it for later. So it's not like you have to consume a gallon of milk a day or a gallon and a half of milk a day. We would save up till we had about 3 gallons of milk. If we had 3 gallons of milk in the fridge, we would make cheese because we could store cheese. We can store cheese a lot longer than we can store milk, and it's a much more condensed. It's you know, because you separate the whey, curds and whey, basically, and you have a very condensed product in the end. So, you know, it's kind of another bonus about having those dairy goats. And let me kind of, I just want to explain this because I probably am not making this clear. So we would breed the dairy does with the meat goat buck. So we would have basically, hopefully, meat goat kids. So the dairy goat moms would produce milk. The whole idea is to get that system working so that you're producing a meat goat offspring, which, you know, stimulates milk production. And then, you know, at 6 months, I think you slaughter the kids. You want to definitely get the males before they start getting mature because, man, they stink and they ruin their own meat, which that sounds kind of funny. But, yeah, they do. Maybe sometime I'll talk about it, but not today. Anyway, so that's the system, is you breed meat goat buck with a dairy goat mom. The dairy goat mom produces milk and meat, right? So then you slaughter the meat and you still keep getting the milk. That's how that system works. Rabbits, I've said before, rabbits are another great, fantastic way to produce a ton of meat in a year. Not quite a ton, depending on how many rabbits you have. But with just a buck and a doe, you're going to produce, you're going to produce rabbits, I don't know, every 6 weeks, something like that. And every 6 weeks, you're going to have, you know, however many kid bunnies to kill and eat. But what I really wanted to get to with all of that was, like, where are you going to get, that's exactly right, Rob Works. Where are you going to get your sinful pleasures when all of this stuff starts coming at us? You know, if you think, okay, think about something simple. You want a nice cold brewski at the end of the day. You want to sit, like last weekend, just sit on the deck and have a cold one and watch the world go by. Well, guess what goes into beer? Well, you got grain. Hops, yeast, water, wheat, which is a grain, barley, rice, corn, oats, rye, etc. They're much of the same things that are used to make breakfast cereals. So think about it. We're already having a shortage of these grains. You know, there's already going to be, not only increased cost because of the price of fuel going on right at the time when farmers are trying to plant their crops, and of course lack of fertilizer, which means probably the gross production would be down on any field that didn't get their quota of fertilizer for their fields. So number one, the price of these things are going to go up. And number two, what do you think? Now, I know there's going to be some wishful thinking here. But what do you think wheat is going to go in before it goes into beer? It's probably going to be made into flour and cereal. Although a lot of us would be hoping to hoard some of that wheat for beer making. You know, and that's something else I did in 2000. Well, I think it was 2008. I can't really remember. When that started happening, now, as you know, I'm not a big beer drinker. I have a couple beers a year. That's my thing. Like, I love beer when I drink it, but it's just not one of those things I do daily or weekly or monthly. It's like, when it strikes me, I like a nice cold one, but it's just not one of those things I do. But I learned how to make beer because beer is a great trading commodity. When it all hits the fan, yeah, people are going to be hungry, but they're also going to want their, you know, sinful pleasures. They're going to want to have a nice cold beer once in a while. They're going to want to have wine. They're going to want to have spirits or cannabis or tobacco or mushrooms or, you know, whatever pharmaceutical, recreational, or otherwise that you need and want, where do you think you're going to get that? Like, are you prepared now? Like, do you know where that source is that you're going to be able to obtain those things for? Or are you stocking up? Yeah, how much cocoa do you have? No kidding. Oh, but it's going to be important to know ahead of time, to prepare ahead of time, not only for food and water and shelter, but for those things that you know, that we take for granted today, that's like, hey, you know, I'm going to go get some cannabis, like from the local supplier right down the street. We have, you know, it's legal here in Oregon. It's so nice, man. You can go in and talk to people about what strains are, you know, good. Like if you want to be couch locked, you know, you can find out, oh, this is definitely couch locked. You're not going to be moving for hours. Or, hey, I have this, you know, I really have this muscle tension at the base of my skull, and I'd really like something to kind of let me relax a little bit, you know, give me some relief of that pain. But I've got stuff to do, so I don't want to be couch locked. And man, those people will tell you different strains, different hybrids they have now that you can pick and choose, you know, how to dose yourself to get the desired result. The thing is, is that going to still be available? I mean, are people still going to be able to produce those things the way they have been able to in the past few years? You know, it became so crazy here in Oregon. We would grow for our own personal use and to share with our friends. It got to the point where you could go down and pick up pot literally cheaper than what we could grow it for. Of course, we tried to control the growing conditions. Which, you know, if you live in the right place, you can grow wheat pot and it'll just grow. Like, literally, you know, in some parts of the world, it's just a freaking weed that grows like crazy. So if you have that kind of situation, awesome. That's the cheapest pot you're ever going to get. But my point is, you know, the variety may not be there in the future. So are you stocking up on the very type that you like to have? Same with beer, same with wine, same with, you know, like I said, any other recreational medicinal things that you partake of, man. It's part of surviving. It's not only part of surviving, it's part of staying sane and healthy to keep those parts of your life going that give you pleasure. Like this weekend, you know, we can reproduce this weekend, this past weekend, anytime, like not difficult at all. All we got to do is just sit down, relax, pick whatever project we need to get done, work on it, you know, and keep going. But it's important. I think those things are as important as food, water, and shelter. Now, they aren't really, but they're important for mental health, stability, relaxation, recovering, and just being ready for whatever's next, man. Man, I have two more big things to cover. Which way shall I go? Man, this one is too big. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I do want to talk about the Twitter thing a little bit. I'm not 100% convinced that it's going to be what everybody thinks it's going to be. One of the things that I have taken the most pleasure in for the past couple weeks is listening to the people who have been on Twitter, been able to, you know, free run with it, whatever they wanted to say and not get any interference. I have been loving listening to those people whine and cry and like throw fits, like tantrums. And you know, it's really, it not only has been a pleasure, it has literally brought me joy just to listen to them. Even on the mainstream media, listening to some of the idiots who have promoted the exact same thing that they're afraid of happening now. And, you know, it's almost like they forgot that they're part of the problem, or they have no idea that they're part of the problem. And hear them talking about, what if Elon Musk, you know, eliminates all the other candidates, you know, and only lets candidates he wants to have elected if he only lets them talk. Well, yeah, no crap, right? Isn't that what we just went through for years? Isn't that what Twitter has become? You know, it's easy to sit in a chat room with friends and people who think exactly like you think. It's easy because nobody bucks the system. Nobody challenges your thought. You know, you just sit together and you make comments and you pat each other on the back. Like, oh yeah, that person's an idiot. They're brain dead, you know. And anybody who thinks that's completely evil, blah, blah, blah. And as long as nobody challenges you, yeah, you look awesome. I was hearing today that how many celebrities were going to quit Twitter. And I was like, of course you're going to quit Twitter. Of course you are. You're nothing to begin with. You can't think on your own. You don't have the ability to freely think and challenge things in the world, to actually, you know, question authority and do research on your own to find the truth. You don't want to know the truth. So it's easy to sit in the little chat room. I call Twitter a chat room, you know, with your buddies, and they, you know, talk about how great you are and how smart you are and how much they honor you and you're doing the right thing. But you let somebody come in who is like, hey, yeah, that's not the way this works. You know, I don't really believe anything you're saying, and here's why. And, you know, you can't have a debate. They're not prepared to debate people, which is really kind of sad. In my opinion, it's kind of sad. I mean, I like to hear opposing views, whether I agree with them or not. I still like to hear them. It kind of helps me understand what other people are doing in this world. You know, I have patients that come in who are still wearing masks, and I'm thinking to myself, how do you not know this is all a hoax? How do you not know that this is all fake? That you're not in any harm? But they do. They believe it. Because they hang out in the same chat room. You know, nobody has prepared them. And that's kind of what I'm getting to. Twitter has not prepared people for what is coming. I'm not saying that they're liable. I'm saying that they've hid people from the truth of what is coming. They've protected people from knowing what is coming. They've protected people from hearing the truth about COVID, about vaccines, about vaccine injuries, about the actual numbers of people who were harmed with the vaccine, about the actual number of people that we killed in hospitals to make sure that it looked like COVID was killing people. What a sick, evil, freaking bunch of people there are in the world that just went along with this horrible scenario and never question it. I was actually having a kind of a good conversation with a patient today that I said, yeah, I just don't know. I don't know why. Well, I was talking to her about the science behind some dental thing. I was trying to explain to her, and I was like, yeah, and this is like real science, you know. This is like proven science that this is how this whole thing works. And then we got into this discussion about how nobody, none of the institutions that could have stood up and said something who could have actually used statistics and come out and educated people about the reality of what was going on. They didn't do it. None of them did it. And anyone who tried, the few small isolated populations of people that tried to get the word out were silenced. Twitter did that. Well, now you're going to have to face the wrath of everybody coming back on Twitter, who's coming back on Twitter. And believe me, man, if I was a Twitterer, if I was a tweeter, and they had just unlocked my account, oh my God, I would be letting it fly, man. I would go hunt down every miserable bastard that had something to say to me or about me or about their whatever that I couldn't respond to in the last 2 years. I would be, oh my God, I would be troll number one. Like, I would just start picking them off one at a time and start stirring up crap. So of course they're going to leave Twitter, because they don't have the spine to actually be in a free speech platform. You know, free speech to them means their free speech, their ability to speak freely without interruption or contradiction. That's what free speech means to them, which is not free speech at all. I'm glad to see it, honestly. I'll believe it when I see it, because I'm not convinced. I heard a discussion today. It was really actually a great one-hour conversation. I'll try and link it in my show notes. I know I say that, and then I don't link stuff. I'm going to go find this and link it. So a guy was talking about the difference between Twitter and Truth Social, Trump's thing. And that, you know, there may be something about the timing of Elon Musk buying Twitter and Truth Social becoming, you know, more active, because apparently they couldn't open up Truth. I don't know. This is speculation. Apparently they wanted to open up Truth Social a little bit at a time so that the servers could handle it, blah, 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 whatever. I don't know. And I don't care. This is what I care about. I care that people get the truth. I care that there's open dialogue where people can ask questions and challenge people and ask for source material. Like, okay, you know that, or you say you know that. Show me, you know, the study. Show me the stats. Show me evidence that that is actually the truth. Because if you don't show me that, I'm not buying what you have to say. Basically, it's just your opinion, which is fine. You can base your opinion on fantasy, I guess. I mean, look at all the different genders we have to contend with now. Again, that's fantasy. Your fantasy is not my reality. You identify as whatever gender. I don't care. It's not my reality. So I'm not accepting your fantasy as my reality. If Truth Social truly is a free speech platform, I would hang out there. I would love to be in a place that's a free speech platform. I would love to share ideas and to debate people about whatever their beliefs are, or whatever issue we're talking about today or this week. The Hunter Biden laptop that got squelched for 2 years. Well, more than that. Yeah, 2.5 years. Yeah, I do know that. Elon Musk is a young global leader with the World Economic Forum. Yeah, I know that. Which makes you wonder, doesn't it? Like, what is he going to do? If he truly is one of those, we're doomed. Or Twitter's doomed. Yeah, if Trump, I don't care. Anybody else? Here's the thing, though. I could see this happening. Let's say Trump let's say Truth Social becomes the thing that, you know, everybody is expecting it to be, a free speech platform. Well, libs aren't going to come in. Progressives aren't going to come in. They're not going to come in to a free speech platform that, you know, is based on conservative values. So then what's going to happen? There's going to be a bunch of us sitting around together in a free speech platform who all agree with each other and pat each other on the back and tell each other how great we are. I actually want a truly free speech platform. I would love to have a free speech platform. Yeah, where is it going to end? I don't know. I really hope people start looking for the truth. It's not going to feel good to me to see people dying because they're desperate for food or for water or for anything, because they ignored all of these signs. They ignored all of this stuff. I'm telling you, we have kids and grandkids who never lived through a period where the stuff that they can get every day isn't available. I would say a lot of us haven't lived through a period where, you know, you thought you were going to go to the store and pick up a couple pieces of meat, some potatoes, and maybe asparagus, and go home and cook a meal, and it's not going to be there. And yeah, it's a conspiracy. Yeah, they are doing it on purpose. The other story I was going to get to is going to have to wait until Saturday's show, which is kind of good because it's huge and I have a lot of information about who is behind the avian flu thing. It's not only coming, it's here. I did talk about it a little bit last show. It is upon us, and there are the same dirty actors who were behind the pandemic are behind this thing. But I just don't have time to get into that today. We're almost at the end of the show. But I'm really kind of excited about whatever is going to happen. I'm absolutely loving the crybabies on Twitter, the employees of Twitter whining and crying and throwing fits. That has been the most satisfying thing that I've seen in years. And, you know, I hope they get at least a little taste of what they have been doing to everybody else for the last couple of years. And, yeah, it must be terrifying for them to know, because they know firsthand what that was like. They know exactly what they did to people, and now they may be on the other end of it. You know that's got to be terrifying to them, because they won't be able to go out and spew their vile, and everybody just jumps on board with how great they are. No, they're going to... At least they think that that's what's going to happen to them. Anyway, okay, so avian flu, we're going to talk about that on Saturday. You can always catch me live on reallibertymedia.com and get in the chat room there. You can pick me up on pretty much, I don't know, I'm on half a dozen podcast sites. I'm on Rumble, I'm on Odyssey, I'm on BitChute. You can catch my show there. One of these days I'll actually fire up the camera and do, you know, some videos, so you don't have to just look at my sunset pictures or, you know, whatever else I put up on there. But I do that so that I can be on all the different platforms, and I think it's kind of fun. Let's see. I want to talk about, one thing is I didn't even look at my, you know, Wednesday nights, I get off work at 5, I start to show at 6, so I have a tiny bit of time to prepare. But I didn't even look at my email tonight, and I'm sure there's a ton of stuff coming up in email on, you know, who knows, Elon Musk or Twitter, who knows what. But, I know the other big story of the week was Kamala Harris getting COVID. Now, why don't people understand what,
thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist podcast.
But let me just say this. I'm just going to let that play in the background. Why don't people understand that the virus doesn't work, the vaccine doesn't work,
and
Kamala Harris, who got both shots, two boosters, she gets COVID. Nancy Pelosi, there was some other congressman who got that today, and who was diagnosed with COVID. There's one in Oregon who got COVID. And they all had the vax, they all had the boosters, they all promoted wearing masks, social distancing, even though they didn't do it themselves. And yet we're running these commercials about how great the vax is and how great remdesivir is. And it's all kind of, you know, strictly BS. But anyway, catch you guys Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, Wednesday and Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, live here on Real Liberty Media. You guys have a great week. I'll see you on Saturday.